forsiktig nå.
Ja, men det alltid litt å gå på med den sensoren, skjønner
du. Oi, sånn.
Jeg trodde håndverket kunne rigge.
Ja, de aller fleste kan det.
Med bedriftsforsikringer i Storebrand er du forberedt på overraskelser. Storebrand. Invester i fremtiden.
Nå 30 år siden Tyskland ble gjenforent, og 30 år siden Scorpions ga ut Crazy World. Det her jernverket, jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og jeg traff Scorpions for et par år siden. Før intervjuet jeg noe jeg må si. For at jernverket skal overleve som podcast, trengs det midler. Og du kan bidra med støtte månedlig via patreon.com/jernverket eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst i episodebeskrivelser med lenker som fører jeg rett til kassen. Tusen takk for alle bidragene så langt. Jeg klarer ikke det uten deg.
Yeah, okay, so then we'll just skip the fan question and go right on the case or whatever we say in Norwegian and Swedish. I'm here with Scorpions. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Mickey and Matthias.
Yes.
And M&M. You've been...
The two M's.
Mm-hmm. M&M's?
Yeah.
M&M's.
What M&M is your favorite?
Actually, the brown one or yellow one.
Mm-hmm. I think I go for the blue one.
Hmm. That's a new question.
The yellow and blue. Well, see, like Swedish.
Yes, yellow and blue.
Yeah, so I understand you've been doing a lot of press the last few days.
Yeah, of course. We have a new album coming out. It's a ballad album. It's a compilation. But at least it has three brand new songs and a couple of versions the fans haven't heard so far. It should come out day after tomorrow. And it's called Born to Touch Your Feelings. And it is a ballad album. It's perfectly timed for Christmas, of course. It's one of those record company ideas which we enhanced and said, okay, we need to record new stuff. Otherwise, we are selling the same to the fans. But then again, that's not true because we have remastered versions, we have re-recorded versions, and it's all together. It's a pretty valuable package. And so we did some of the interviews for that reason, others for shows that are coming up. Not so much in Oslo, but show's doing great tonight. And but for like countries we haven't played in at the end of this tour, it's Serbia and Slovenia. It's, I think, country number 84 and 85 on our list.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're in the middle of the tour, so there's always a lot of press going on. And, you know, we got a lot of requests while we were in Russia. We almost did 3 weeks of Russia now. And... personally, I moved all this stuff forward, and then it gets to an explosion, which happened when we had a few days off, and here we are now.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, we could start, no, not exactly at the beginning, because you came into the band in 78.
Right, and that's when it started.
Yeah, as you say, because
as
then you came.
One knows.
but then the Scorpions had already been doing that for or playing music for about 13 years. Can you remember the first time you heard about Scorpions and that this is a band?
Yes, I would say I heard about them maybe for somewhere around like 74, 75. They played the City Fest in. Our hometown, Hanover, and they played like at the river, and they were not bad. There were still the days with Michael. And when Uli John Roth joined, I knew about it. I listened to them because Uli is a good friend of mine, and his younger brother and myself, we went to school together. We come from the same area outside of Hanover, and we played guitar together before we even knew the Scorpions existed. And so there you
but
have
also
it.
Also, Scorpions was the first real German rock band. So I'm sure a lot of Germany in general heard about. I mean, there was not a lot of rock bands coming out of Germany.
There was this weird stuff called krautrock. That was like an American expression for German rock. There was a bit of the like experimental music, like freaky style. in the late 60s, early 70s, and the Scorpions always try to not be part of this. They try to be, you know, more like British, American influenced, and that's why they had to go out of Germany to make their luck. So they went to Holland, Belgium first, and later on to England and France, because in Germany, an English singing German band at the time was not that popular. So they had to go abroad.
You probably understand.
It's still not popular.
By summer. Oh yes, it is. Now you don't think about it.
It's only German singing people there.
But it's like what Matthias says. We have the same thing both Norway and Sweden. You know, at once a band steps out of the actual nationwide type of music, like Scorpions have played more melodic, as I said, more, if you will, traditional rock than maybe. Same in Sweden. We had the same problems. Most bands sounded the same at that time of and place. And, you know, as soon as you stepped out of that, you had to really leave the country, you know, to be able to play, because you were not really accepted in the beginning, you know. It takes some time.
But how did you end up in Scorpions? Yeah. You're the new guy now, this
time. I am the super new. I'm so new. I'm like a little fucking pink baby. No, it's been a year and a half now. Actually, yeah. Matthias...
I had the idea that we should give Mickey a call, because James, the previous drummer, he had health problems. And first the idea was to find somebody who could help us in case anything goes wrong. But, and secretly, it was like more the James Bond story, that Mickey was like, you know, following this on tour, being like driven by his own driver and car, undercover, sometimes in a different hotel, so James didn't notice. But, you know, we have a high-flying drum riser, and you can't have somebody up in 7 meters hide if he's not sober, and therefore sometimes we couldn't use our show effects, and among other things. And I'm glad we found Mickey. We rehearsed in the afternoon, we played the show in the evening, and then that's how he learned the set. Scorpion said it's quite different from Motorhead. You it was brand new. And it takes a few days, even though he's very fast.
It was very hard, actually, because I got the call on a Thursday, and the first show was on Saturday. But I, as Matthias said, I was asked to be on standby.
He didn't have to play that.
So I didn't have to play.
But he watched the show.
I had to come down to Luxembourg and start following them and be in standby and try to learn this as quick as I could in case James couldn't play. Because I guess the patients, they were running out of patients with the problems with poor James, you know, and he had to seek help. But I was hoping every day that he actually could play, because he gave me an extra day to actually, because I was sitting during the day studying the DVDs, and in the evening I saw the show. I had my in-ears. I was sitting in disguise, close as I could to the stage, just so that it was reaching, to learn the set as good as I could, you know. And then we jammed three or four times in a dressing room, just a little drum kit, just tapping away the songs. And but we felt it right away. I mean, I came from Motorhead, you know, just buried Lemmy in Los Angeles. And the timing was, you know, if it's going to be right at all, that was the right timing for me as well, because I was kind of down, you know, from after 25 years with the Motorhead boys, you know, and they also ran into a bit of problems. So together we clicked right away.
It's a very long time.
Yeah.
25 years, quarter of a century. I mean, this is something you don't overcome in a year.
Now we can feel that we're locking in good, and we See, I like to be like a good goalie back there, you know, in football or hockey, whatever. They have to trust me back there, and then they play better. They could do their deal instead of always being worried about the backbone. Like, this is Amatia's place, and Rudolf like that. But you know what I mean? They have to trust me. But before you have to earn that trust. You have to feel that it sounds good and the show is coming together in a good way and getting used to my drumming, and I have to get used to their playing. But after a year and a half now, it feels really, really good.
It feels good for like more than a year now. Yeah. I mean, you know, we locked in pretty quickly, and now we are in an unstoppable train.
Yeah, I guess the plans of retiring and not touring anymore, they are just put on hold like forever now.
The plan to retire came up 2010, 7.5 years ago. The idea, I remember, you know, I was thinking Klaus is the oldest and maybe he was the tired singing. So this idea was around and we were all thinking about it and we were touring and giving interviews. And at some point, I remember we were in Portugal at the airport and asked Klaus, who came up with the idea? And he answered, I don't know. Rudolf? No, we have to check with him. The fucking idea came from our ex-manager. And so we followed it because he explained it in a way it makes most sense to do it, you know, at the right spot and, you know, when before you get too old and all this bullshit. And during the tour, we noticed, hey, we have too much fun. We are still too fit to finish. And, you know, we enjoy what we are doing. And the fans wouldn't let us go anyway, never mind the promoters, you know. So we have plans to play Australia, New Zealand next November in a year from now. So much for retiring. And the offers for 2019 are coming in. 30 years of Wacken, for example.
All of 18 is booked up,
basically.
Yeah.
We start early this time.
Yeah, in March, which is great. So
and there's nothing inside. Everybody loves what we are doing. You know, while we are doing it, we have a great time on tour. And the older guys are enjoying it.
Well, you have the two factors, I always say. You have two factors. You have the health factor, which is no problem, knock, knock on wood, with the band. And you have the fun factor. When the fun starts seeping out and you lose that, then it goes quick and you might as well stop. But now since we kind of hooked up here a year and a half ago, everybody has a really, really good time. Yep. But I remember both Matthias and Rudolf told me too, before I actually joined the band, they said, you know, having a member, not necessarily James or so, but to have a member in a band where you can't trust and to create this nervousness, you know, is it going to be good today? Is it going to be bad today? You read reviews. Oh, he was so, you know, then you start losing that feeling that you are unbeatable, you know. And we had this exact same problem with Motorhead, if I compare with Verso or the other guitar player. He was happy as a fucking clam, playing his ass off. From one tour to the other, he was riding with a crew, if he could, in the buses. He was miserable. He didn't like it. He played like shit. He went down in 3 months. He was like, he never played guitar in his life. And said he didn't enjoy it at all. So it was time for him to go. And when he left, we got a new energy, and it was great fun. And we played for, 20 more years. So, you know what I mean? That's what happened.
It's the chemistry between the musicians and, you know, Scorpions has always been based on friendship. Yeah. You can tell. I mean, we spend so much time together. If there is somebody in the band whom you don't like, it's not like with your neighbor. You can close your door and, you know, say, okay, I don't say hello to this guy. We see each other every day. For many hours, especially when we are traveling together on a tour bus in America, it shows quickly if somebody doesn't fit into the band or crew immediately.
Yeah, yeah, There's no faking in this occupation. You know, you can't. You might be able to fake a couple of weeks being Mr. Nice Guy, or you know. But but in the end, it comes down. We spend more time together than we do with our families. The family number two or number one, whatever you want to call it. But we all have two families, and this is one family, and this takes up more time than the other family. And you can't really fake that. You might as well, you could cover it up for smaller periods of time, but that's it. And on stage, I mean, this is an important factor. When we go on stage, now I can feel a glow. And you see bands that play fucking great. They play perfect, but they don't have that charisma. They don't glow to the audience, and that's a huge difference. You know something's wrong up there.
No, we just don't know what it is. From Kiev, which is very close to Chernobyl, we glow in the dark.
Yeah.
I can see that.
We just came from Kiev.
Exactly.
I had to sleep in a different bedroom first couple of nights. Yeah. Mia said it's like daylight in
here.
And
you can't sneak out anymore.
No.
I can see you in the dark.
I look like the Hulk.
Perfect.
I looked like the Great Hulk when I came home. Holy shit! Yeah. By the 14, whatever they call it, the level I told you about.
The
level of
what's it called? The
radiation.
Yeah, it was a becquerel.
Here and in normal countries like 1.1 or something or 0.8. In Kiev, it's over 14.
This Geiger counter here says 15 now.
15?
Yeah. So you're quite radioactive.
We are.
This is measuring. Yeah.
If it starts beeping, you have to drop this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But throughout the years, you put out a whole lot of albums. Which one is your least favorite?
From the Scorpions catalog. The least favorite is obviously the one we recorded at the end of the 90s, Eye to Eye. It's never been a fan's favorite, never been my favorite. It's when, you know, the second half of the 90s, when grunge and alternative made it really difficult to all the classic rock bands, because it seemed like, you know, like journalists are, you can imagine, or people from the record companies or radio stations, they always go for the latest trend. And then it all of a sudden, it was like, rock is dead. You know, it's all old fashioned. This is past. You played like a great guitar riff. Oh.
Another solo.
So, oh, guitar solo. Oh. You know, forget that. It's all new now. You know, we all play like the fucking grunge people.
Yeah.
Who never played one proper guitar solo in their entire lives. And so, you know, as a sensitive musician, even though we know what we are doing, you are influenced by that shit if you keep hearing it. So we were in the studio with the wrong producer, and what came out was this album. Then we went on tour. We even cut our hair. So, you know, looking back, I go like, oh, man, what went wrong? And so the only good thing about this is that we learned from it very quickly. It was, looking back, for me, it was the best mistake we made, because it was so obvious that we couldn't go on like this. So, you know, immediately back to the studio, do something else, and find your way back to the roots. So we did, and thank God, you know, as soon as the year 2000 started, we were back on track. But it was awful.
We did this exact same year, 99.
Yeah,
we did the shittiest album with the wrong producer, and it wasn't so much grungy, but it was. We were based in LA, and LA died, completely died. Sunset died out. Everything died. It was really hard in the end of the 90s. For bands that have been around forever and played traditional rock, or it was really hard. And we did the same thing. But also, we, both me and Lambo, sitting saying, it's a fucking shit album. And I go, yeah.
We got that going for us.
That's the only shitty one. But it's good, as you say. Yeah. You adjusted really quick.
We had to.
Back, you know, to the roots.
Because we noticed, you know, we are on the wrong path. I mean, looking back, this is like almost 20 years ago. You know how time flies. Mm. And in a career that's like 50 years roughly, only one dip, that's pretty good.
It's nothing.
Because usually it's natural that the career doesn't, it doesn't always go like this. You know, it goes like this and stands still, a bit down and up. And same with the Scorpions. You know, we had phases that were not always great. The 80s were fantastic. You know, there was just sheer up there. But of course, it's very difficult to maintain that level, you know. But throughout the many, many, many decades, we managed that quite good.
Mm-hmm. No bands have just stayed on the same level, you know. Mm-hmm. But which is also an ingredient that inspires you, you know what I mean? It would be quite boring if it just always was a dance on a fucking banana shell, you know. It's great when you have to sometimes sit down and figure out what the deal is, because you kind of go back. It's like a monopoly. You go back to go, you know, and you analyze a little bit. This is not right, and this is right, you know. So it wouldn't be fun if you just slide it away, and you want to get inspired. It's easy to sit back and feel comfortable and go, everything is great, you know. But I always say you have your feet right here on the edge. You always have to keep working forward, otherwise you're going to fall down. So so it's great. I get inspired by some hard times sometimes, you know. It's good. Mm.
But what about music, art, and controversy? In the 70s and the 80s, many of your album covers were considered very controversial. Some of them still are. Is it more difficult today to do something like shocking or being afraid of people misinterpreting or misunderstanding the signal behind it? Do you have to be more careful now?
It's too politically correct today, a lot of this stuff. I mean, what would you say, the glimpse in your eye, the humor, the acceptance of see what it is, it's pretty much gone. Yeah. in a lot of ways, which is a little too bad, I'd say, you know.
I mean, there were great times, as Mickey said. Today everything has to be politically correct, but even back then in America, my first album, Love Drive, they had to put it first in a plastic bag, in a red cover.
It's like when
the guy sit in the back of a car, Elton John's Mercedes 600, by the way, and he pulls off this bubble gum from her tit.
Yeah.
And so the Americans were so offended, they're a bit weird anyway. You should have seen the girls backstage. and then finally we had to change the cover, especially for Walmart. I met Mrs. Walton once and told her she was not amused. But I didn't like that. And today, I mean, it's also because it was a big vinyl. Vinyl's coming back to a certain extent. But then if you have something in this format, like a CD, yeah, it's not, you know, you don't try as hard because it doesn't look good anyway. But let me show you our new cover, since you obviously don't even know.
No, I don't know how it looks like. So
even know we have a new album out.
But I heard that it was coming, but I didn't know that there were three new songs.
Yeah. Let me see if I find it.
But in the older days, the album cover sold the album. Mm-hmm. And that's not the deal today as much, because when you went into a record store, I bought, for instance, Thin Lizzy Jailbreak because of the cover. I went in and saw this killer cover. I go, wow. And I listened to the music and I fell in love immediately, you know, with Thin Lizzy. So album covers sold the music, you know, in a lot of ways. And today it's less like that. You don't really see these record stores where you have the new albums coming up, you know.
Even though I still think they are important.
I think a great importance, but they don't sell the album like they used to do in the 70s and 80s.
I mean, things have changed so much. Yeah. To sell an album is only for bands like us who are very established, because we are going back to the one song thing, like the 60s, people are downloading the song, they like that.
Yeah.
It's almost no point in recording an album with 15 songs these days. Why? I have to...
Unless you make 15 super good songs. The only thing hard rock has against all other kinds of music is that our fans collect our stuff. And I am very grateful because they want to own the CD. They want to own the vinyl. They buy the vinyl. First they buy the CD. Then the vinyl comes. They buy that. Then there's a Japanese edition. They buy that. Then they get the US edition. They want to buy that. With Motorhead, they could buy 5, 6, 7 albums of the same album because they collect. They want to have that piece of jewelry in their hand, you know.
So this is why you're making compilations and 1 and 2 new songs, just to make us buy even more. We need to buy it.
I found it.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
See?
Yeah, yeah.
To some people.
Kind of Lolita-ish, that too.
That is back to some kind of controversy.
Mystique, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It fits right into the Helmut Newton, Love at First Sting, the black and whites from the 80s. That's about the same style.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, we are back to a little bit of controversy.
How much did the band say about... did you have a
all
say
of it.
About...
Yeah. All of it. Mm. You ask a record company, you get some sketch. Can't be. This is the very famous photographer Ellen von Unwerth. She's from Vogue and she's a very... She's an older lady, but she's a great photographer. And she is very classy, as you can tell. It's one of her pictures which Klaus always liked. And he knows her personally. So he got in... straight contact, and that came out. Mm-hmm. It was too expensive for the record company.
But to answer your question a little bit about compilation, is that why it's not a lot of money in this? But what it does do, it keeps you updated a little bit. It's a reason. See, you sitting here, we're talking about this. You do a lot of more press about it. You have a more a recent product out that. Because you can't keep writing albums maybe every year or every other year. I mean,
not when you're on the road for 1 year.
Because they want that. But then you go, okay, we'll do make a new record, but that means we're going to be off road for a year maybe. Oh no, are you kidding? You coming next year, right? So it's impossible. But a thing like this, we do it with Motorhead as well, and I have to compare all the time because it's kind of the same deal. That we release something to be up to date a little bit. So, but when you're talking or thinking that it's only a money thing, you're completely wrong because there's not a lot of money in this anymore at all. It's more to be updated.
Fresh songs.
Yeah, fresh stuff.
Something new to play.
And you give the fans something new, you know. It's great.
But you're visible everywhere since you have Scorpions emojis now too, so you can...
But they don't work on WhatsApp.
Oh no.
That's what we use most of the time.
I don't send
emails with emojis, you know what I mean?
No.
You don't do that. So we have to work on that.
Du har hørt et intervju med Scorpions spilt inn I 2017. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoden med Flight og Horisont. I november skal Woodcut Records gjenutgi 3 Beheksen-utgivelser, og I den anledning tenkte jeg kunne være trivelig å få et gjenhør med en Bjørn, gitarrist I Beheksen.
Når vi står og spiller så blir vi jo ett med de energiene vi jobber med. Vi går ikke ned på kne og tilber noe som høyere, så vi blir jo ett med de energiene og de gudene som blir tilbøtt.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com for å få med deg hver eneste episode. Spre ordet og legg igjen en 5-stjerner, hør på podden og... Hvis du vil bidra med litt kronasj I tillegg for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, så kan du gi støtte månedlig via Patreon eller et enkeltbeløp via Vips. Informasjonen ligger I episodebeskrivelser. Og husk på å følge med I Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for konkurranser, blant annet månedens album fra Katakomben, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrockintervju hver fredag. Vi høres!